Welcome into episode 115 of the Godly Young Men podcast. If you are just listening and not watching, the next couple minutes, maybe 60 seconds, are not going to mean a whole lot to you. But if you are viewing, if you're watching on YouTube, you are getting to enjoy the beautiful sight of a brand new studio.
Correct.
Shout out to Joe. This was Joe's idea. Joe's the one that put a lot of the work into this. And we were in our previous studio back at, full disclosure, at my parents' house for 114 episodes, a little over 2 years, and it served us well. It was a nice little studio, but we're in a lot better looking one now, a lot more comfortable, a nice carpet, fireplace. So again, if you're just listening, not going to mean a whole lot to you. If you're watching, hopefully you can see how nice this is.
Yeah, we put a lot of time and effort into it, so shout out to my dad, Brian. Thanks to him, big shout out to him. He helped us with ceiling and everything. I mean, just the board's up and, you know, taking all his power tools. I have a few power tools. He's got way more than I do. And so he was a huge help in getting this whole thing put together. But I told him the vision, and I don't know that he actually listens to this podcast. I know my parents listen to the other podcast religiously. But yeah, and I told him kind of the vision of what we were looking for. And he's like, I think this is going to look great. What if we do this, do that? Help me pick the boards.
The black looks great.
So yeah, we're excited about it. And he was here working late yesterday, actually, to get it done. I had some hockey games that I went to. And so yeah.
Looks great. This was the big announcement that we've been talking about for a while. We knew this probably 25, 30 episodes ago that this was coming at some point.
It's taken so long.
But we didn't want to by episode 100 we're going to have it, because we didn't know how long it was going
to
take.
But that literally, that was actually the plan, is by episode 100 to try to unveil this. This is 115. So yeah, 15 weeks later, here we are. But it's done. We're here. If you are listening, once again, this means very little to you. But go check out our YouTube. If you are listening, go check out our YouTube link just to see the new studio, and tell us what you think in the comments below. But Will, we have a fantastic episode today. We wanted to bring a really good episode just to go along with this one, but it's something that's been in the news. We talked about it.
And we've never touched this topic before either.
We've never touched this topic. I throw the topic down. And I throw one of the sides of the topic down of, okay, I think this would be very interesting, talking about aggression. Place for aggression, things like that. We got somebody asking about insults. What do we do about insults? And then you came and said, what if we cover the Austin Metcalf story? What if we take it from a violence end? Is there ever a place for, you know, violence, aggression, things like that, that are primarily masculine? And so kind of three different things coming together for this episode, so we're excited about it.
Well, aggression and violence is typically associated with young men. Obviously, I don't have stats in front of me, but percentage of violent crime or any kind of, you know, violent issue that goes on is probably going to be from men, from a male. And, you know, aggression being typically associated with them, obviously testosterone goes into that, and we've had episodes on that before. But what's interesting about this, just before we get into it, Joe, is that our society is very feminized.
Yep.
Obviously, toxic masculinity, you know, was the big phrase. You don't really hear that about that as much anymore, but there's still very much that sentiment in today's culture of masculinity in general being toxic. And so, yeah, this does tie into it a little bit, in the sense of, I do think our society is asking men, demanding men to scale down their aggression.
Yeah.
That aggression is a bad thing. And obviously, we're going to talk about that from it. Aggression and violence are not synonymous. I just want to point that out. Like, obviously, aggression can lead to violence, but those two things are not synonymous. They're not the exact same thing. And so, really, kind of the question we're asking with this episode, one of the main questions, is it a good thing for our society to ask us to scale down our aggression? Yeah. Have men become too aggressive? Should we scale down our aggression? Obviously, violence in general is not a good thing. We're going to get to some specific questions surrounding when is violence okay? Is it ever okay, et cetera? But Joe, what thoughts do you have about how kind of society has kind of demanded that men scale down their aggression?
Well, I will say, like, there's legitimacy to the idea that men have performatively done some violent things.
Yes.
I think there is validity to that. But what I would suggest is, in a world that is dominated by computers and white-collar work and things like that, we don't have a whole lot of good outlets for aggression. We don't have a whole lot of good outlets for any level of testosterone raging and things like that. Maybe sports, you know, things like that. We'll get to that later. But most of the time, like, you think back to the Wild West, or guys that used to be on the home front, and they'd have to go out and they shoot the animals and they're skinning it and field dressing it and things like that. Like, there's a level of masculinity, testosterone pumping in that moment. You got the Indians coming down on the, you know, coming down the pike, and
aggression is your only option.
Like, right, what do you do? So you grab the gun and you go out and defend your land or whatever it may be, or vice versa. Like, that used to be the way of men. And for millennia, you know, who knows how far, basically since the dawning of time, that's been the case. Well, now you have jobs like mine where I sit here for 8-9 hours a day and I talk to people as a living.
Yeah.
It's tough to find testosterone. So in that not taking place, I think you see some violence go out in negative ways, things like that. There's also a lot of fatherlessness. Violence comes out through fatherlessness. And so do I think that sometimes men can be too aggressive? Yeah, but not to the extent that society has thinks so. I think society is trying to feminize us. They're basically like making a huge deal out of it so they can scale us way down.
Well, the reason this was on my mind, let's go ahead and get into the story by this point. This will come out 2 days after we record, which, by the way, just clarification here, or just full transparency here. This is, once again, we're showing our dedication to our Godly Young Men podcast listeners. We are recording this. Final round of the Masters is going on right now, and we are not watching.
Rory versus Bryson.
That's right. Yeah. We are here recording this podcast for you guys, and if you're not a golf person, I apologize.
So you better appreciate the sacrifice.
That's right. We both are, and we would love to be watching the Masters right now. But hey, we're here for the more important stuff. But anyway, by the time this comes out, this new story will be about a week and a half old, maybe close to 2 weeks old. But Austin Metcalf, a 17-year-old student, was stabbed by a fellow student, also 17 years old. His name was Carmelo Anthony, spelled with a K. Really tragic situation. I know a lot of young men don't necessarily follow the news quite as much as older people do, but this was a pretty big headline. Yeah. Again, both 17-year-olds.
At a track meet,
10 a.m. It's been highly politicized, unfortunately, because one of them was white, the one who was killed. The other one was black, who was the one that killed the other individual. Not the purpose of this podcast to discuss kind of the racial dynamics of that. But what it got me thinking, Joe, is about this idea of aggression, this idea of violence. So just real fast to kind of give, apparently how it went down is that Austin, the young man who was killed, told Carmelo, the other young man, they were in a tent, and he told Carmelo, hey, you're not supposed to be here. And Carmelo wouldn't leave. And Austin basically told me, hey, you need to get out of here. And Carmelo basically like, make me. And there's some conflicting reports. One witness said that Austin put his hands first on Carmelo. Another witness said that no, all he did was grab his backpack. Austin grabbed Carmelo's backpack. And then a few seconds later, Austin has been stabbed fatally. And it's just tragic. Yeah. Austin had a twin brother, who was there, and Austin died in his twin brother's arms. Like, just horrible things story that you don't want to read about. Just awful to see, awful to hear. But senseless act of violence, regardless of what the altercation was before, this young man, Carmelo Anthony, stabbing Austin pretty much in cold blood. Like, according to the witnesses, there were no punches thrown. This was not a fight yet or anything like that. He just up and stabbed him. It got me thinking that, you know, what does a godly young man's response need to be towards altercations, towards fist fights, you know, things that obviously wish that this had not gotten to this situation. But what if they just started punching each other and it would have just been a simple school fist fight? And so, yeah, Joe, any thoughts on that story? And kind of, we're going to get into some of the biblical principles surrounding violence. It was something that was awful to hear, awful to read about, but it did kind of strike at the heart of what we want to talk about today.
It was very interesting to see the response from people in the culture as to how they were handling this. And some people saying, hey, he should have never asked Carmelo to leave. He didn't have a right for that. He didn't have a right to put any hands on
his
hands
on his backpack.
Yeah, should have put his hands on his backpack. You know, Carmelo told him to back up and he didn't. And so there are people that are kind of defending the action as though it was warranted. And was there action that was warranted? That's kind of the question at hand here is, maybe, perhaps, you know, in the past, maybe it would have been like throw some cuss words back and forth. Not that that's good, but throw some cuss words back and forth. Maybe throw some insults back and forth. Maybe a fist fight.
At the worst.
Should it have ever gotten to this point? Absolutely not. Yes, it's raining outside the tents. Carmelo's on the other team. He's just trying to shelter underneath, is my understanding, trying to shelter underneath the other teams. They're like, get over to yours, right? Go back to your tent. So he could have gone to the other tent for his team rather than being in the opposing team's tent. Once again, this is where the altercation can take place. Look, we're guys. We realize in a situation like this, maybe there's some words that are exchanged back and forth. Maybe there's some, you know, empty threats type of thing. Not that that's necessarily the best thing, but on the other hand, that's normal. The senseless violence of taking out a knife and stabbing somebody to the heart, that clearly is not. But it was so interesting to see people back and forth trying to back. Once again, there's some political elements to this of the black on white type crime. And so all of that aside, I would still look at this and say, Violence, like aggression in that moment makes sense. Violence in that moment does not. And correct. That's where, as you talked about, there is a separation here. That's where you can really see the separation in this story. Like,
yeah.
It's okay to have some aggression, some shoving back and forth, whatever it may be. Do I think that's the best way to handle it? No. I mean, they should have just talked about it. And Carmelo ultimately, I think, should have gone back to his tent. At the same time, that's guys being guys.
Yeah.
To escalate the violence in this moment, taking your aggression out on somebody else in that way, is completely inappropriate. And so for that, the Bible actually speaks a lot to this. The Bible has biblical principles specifically strongly condemning senseless violence.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Joe, if you'll pull out your phone to pull up Proverbs 3, 31, and Psalm 11. They're the only ones I don't have a kind of something beside for you to read off of. But yeah, so what we have on here is that the Bible does strongly condemn senseless violence. The Bible does not condemn all violence. And this is where this is not an episode about pacifism or, you know, anything like that. A lot of people, pacifism is just for people who don't believe that you should ever inflict harm on anybody under any circumstances. Again, not the purpose of this episode. Just going to tell you, the Bible, it does not condone pacifism like that. You see in the Old Testament, wars take place and God commanded the Israelites, hey, go wipe out every single one of these people. Like, it's not all violence that the Bible condemns. Again, don't have time to get into all that, but it does condemn senseless violence. So you obviously see in Genesis 4, very first murder, of a human being. Cain kills Abel. Everybody knows that story. But then in Genesis chapter 9, this is right after the flood, right after Noah gets off the ark. Paraphrasing here, Joe, if you want to read it, you can, but I'm paraphrasing essentially where God tells Noah, like, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man his blood shall be shed. In other words, you kill somebody, you're going to have it coming back to you, sort of thing. So prohibiting violence while also saying capital punishment, essentially, kind of gives a ringing endorsement there of that. 1 Timothy 3, to be another place where you can go in the New Testament, not violent is a qualification of an elder. Joe and I both made the point before that we should look at the qualifications listed in 1 Timothy 3 and say, and aspire to those. There's a lot of, you know, not quarrelsome, being gentle, not given to much wine, or not given to wine, all these things. We should aspire to that. Not violent is one of those things. And so, Joe, what about Proverbs 3:31 and Psalm 11:5?
Yeah, Proverbs 3:31 says, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. And then we had Psalm 11 verse 5 says, the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. So, and I believe, and this is, I'm just shooting off the top of my head, I believe it's, is it Proverbs 7, Proverbs 5, where it talks about feet that run swiftly to shed blood.
Proverbs 6,
there you go. Is the
Well, it's hands that shed innocent blood, and then feet that run swiftly
there
to
you
evil.
Go.
Yeah, the six
there
things that the Lord hates.
Yep. So,
hands that shed innocent blood is one on there, yeah.
Clearly, going out of your way, the violence, the senseless violence, shedding innocent blood, the Bible only needs to say it once to make it legitimate, but we're talking every which way from Sunday. The Bible is basically saying, hey, don't have violence for the sake of violence. There is no reason for that. There's no reason to shed innocent blood, and so, of course, as godly young men, I don't think we're speaking to anybody that has any intention to go stab somebody in the heart or that has any intention to go shoot somebody else. Right. I would certainly hope that anybody, any one of our listeners, doesn't really need that message. Yeah. So the violence side, of course, that makes sense, especially in the Austin Metcalf situation with Carmelo Anthony. Like, the Bible strongly condemns that type of violence, which is just senseless. There's no reason for it at all.
Well,
so
there's a distinction that's made in the Bible between, and maybe we've already illuminated it well, but just to, you know, put a bow on it, there's a difference between reasonable violence / like warranted violence, again, sure, wars or even vengeance in some instances, versus unjust violence, senseless violence. Cain killing Abel was unjust violence. That did not have to happen.
Right.
You see a lot of examples in the Bible of where, you know, somebody getting killed was not had to happen. David killing Goliath,
that's the one that came to my mind.
Had to happen.
Yeah,
like that was not a
absolutely
senseless act of violence. The Bible does not condemn that. The Bible, in fact, like, that's one of the best, most well-known stories in the Bible. It's a very positive story, and it involved killing somebody. It involved violence. And yet, there's a distinction that's made between, once again, unreasonable or unjust violence, and then also, in my opinion, what you see is violence that takes place because of an outburst of anger.
Right.
You lash out and you do something and you harm somebody, or tragically, you kill somebody. Like, the Bible does speak very strongly against that as well. I've got on here Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Violence, this is where Paul is listing the works of the flesh.
Yep.
Violence is not included, but outbursts of wrath are. Why? Because typically outbursts of wrath lead to violence. And so that's the distinction I wanted to make here about the Bible and what it has to say about violence, is that unjust violence and basically outbursts of wrath violence, like violence stemming from you know, lashing out, rage, that is the violence that the Bible condemns, and justly so. I think that's the violence that every single godly young man has no business being a part of. Right. Like, that should not be, you know, you should not have that level of aggression. You should not have that level of inclination to ever lash out at somebody or, again, in an unjust manner. That's what the Bible speaks against.
It's very interesting. I was reading a book recently about rites of passage, that same one I was reading through. Different part
Man-maker
of it.
Project.
Man-maker Project. Yep. Yeah, great book. Great book. And so he was making the
point. I feel like you've been reading that one for it's been quite a so long. Time.
I'll tell you what it is I read it and then it's like, man, it steps on my toes so much. Like, oh, you just got to chew on it for a little while and
put it away for 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. It's like self-harm type thing. You know, every time you go to read it. But so yeah, I'm reading through this and they make the point, a very interesting point about how gang violence and these type of violent crimes really come from men not having a way to show their manhood. Mm. And so they think that manhood through these violent acts, you know, these gang violences where they go and shoot people, like that's part of the initiation into gangs. That's a way to prove yourself as a man in gang culture, right? In that type. And you see this in society quite a bit where that is the case of violent crimes being taken out by these angry young men that are just trying to prove their worth, trying to prove that they're men. That doesn't prove anything. It proves that you're not in control of yourself. It proves that you are clearly not a man of God that is attempting to do things the right way. And so, biblically, I think we've laid out why violence is such an issue. So, Will, it leads us to this question. Is it ever acceptable to fight someone? Because we can lay, just as we did, we lay out the biblical principles about violence, about the senseless violence, about this being a way to prove yourself as a man, which doesn't prove any of that. But is it ever acceptable to then bring in what we might call more on the aggression rather than senseless violence?
Yeah, so we've got several scenarios on our list here of like, okay, what about this? What about this? What about this? The first one we have on here is, okay, what about if they're physically harming you? What if somebody is engaged in a, you know, fist starts throwing punches at you, you know, for whatever reason, like, again, physically harming you. And this is where a lot of people will jump to Matthew 5, 38 and 39, if you want to go ahead and turn there.
Yeah, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also.
So, Joe, obviously that's Jesus there saying that if somebody's beating the snot out of you, then just let
turn
him.
Turn the other
just,
cheek.
Just take it, right? Is that what he said? So I'll give my take, Joe, and then if you want to share your take. I don't believe that that's quite what Jesus was saying, that, hey, if somebody is just absolutely
assaulting you,
beating the snot out of you, that you just, man, just sit there and take it. That's all you can do. That would be ridiculous because then you could make the, you know, horrific conclusion, you know, you could jump to the horrific conclusion of, hey, if a husband's beating his wife, well, I guess she's just got to sit there and take it. Like,
right.
Obviously not. Anytime somebody wants to, you know, say that that's what Jesus was saying, sometimes you have to take it to the worst possible conclusion to show why that's a stupid way to, you know, that's a dumb interpretation. This is talking about, and from my opinion, or from my interpretation, the context is like marketplace squabbles, like disagreements, like petty disagreements, things where you say, hey, you know, basically you don't necessarily have to rear back and punch the person back. This is not Jesus, once again, saying if they are just, you know, relentlessly assaulting you, that you have to let them do it. Jesus is speaking more so to the need for you to repay somebody back according to your own terms, your own venue. Well, this person wronged me, so I'm going to wrong them right back. That's what Jesus was referring to. What thoughts do you have for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's based off, obviously, off the old law, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. And that idea being that, okay, if this man takes your donkey, you get his donkey in return. Or if this guy, you know, cuts your arm off, cut his hand or his arm off in return. Things like that. And his whole point in this is, how do we treat one another, leading up to kind of the golden rule in Matthew 7, how do we treat one another, and, you know, are we willing to be wronged at certain times? Mm. There's a difference between being willing to be wronged without having to take immediate vengeance and getting punched in the face over and over and not being able to defend yourself. I think it's perfectly appropriate to defend yourself. People may jump to, you know, Jesus getting mad at Peter for cutting Malchus's ear off and putting it back on.
That's a different reason.
Completely different reason. I mean, I don't think Jesus is making the statement that you can't show any aggression in the least. I think it's once again showing how should we treat one another. And so do I think that applies in this situation? No. If somebody's physically harming you, this is why God made us men. There's an aggression element that comes out to, you don't have to, you know, kill the guy. You don't have to beat him into the ground. On the other hand, you definitely have to stand up for yourself enough to stop the fight.
Well, this is where this is the way I would illuminate it is somebody, you know, jumps on you, starts punching you. You have every right as a godly young man to throw that guy off of you, you know, push him aside, do whatever. You don't have a right to grab a brick and start bashing his head in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
or to jump on top of him and beat him so senseless.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, go above and beyond and just absolutely try to, you know, end the guy's life or whatever. Like, you don't have a right to do that. You do have a right to defend yourself. And I think deep down, everybody knows the difference between, right, like, I am trying to make sure that I don't get killed versus I'm going to show this guy. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
There's a clear difference there.
Well, the aggression from rage versus a controlled aggression. Like, yes, our testosterone is going to be pumping. Yes, our adrenaline is going to be pumping. But it's not from this place of rage and anger that I'm going to just destroy this guy.
It's coming from neutralizing the threat.
Yeah. Correct. It's neutralizing a threat, which is ultimately what you want. Like, think about any army. I don't think you want the Marines going out there just, you know, raged up and you know, they're drinking a bunch of pre-workout and getting completely ready to go type of thing. Like, that's not how it goes, where they're just letting anger pulse through. Do they get angry? I'm sure. I mean, they're human. But you want a guy who has a controlled level of anger in that moment and a controlled level of aggression where he's not letting his emotions get the best of him when it comes to the fight.
So here's tough. Let's bring in the second scenario. What about if they're physically harming someone else? So I've got on here, obviously, like somebody like your sister. If you see somebody beating the snot out of your sister or your wife, your girlfriend or whatever. Or what about one of your kids? See, we just talked about how not letting rage. Yeah, exactly. But like, if you see specifically an adult, obviously, if it's like a little kid, you know, maybe they're getting into a playground squabble or whatever. That's one thing.
Sure.
If you ever see an adult like doing something to a kid, or an adult doing something to a female, a lot of natural inclination for us as guys is going to see a little bit of red, to have a little bit of rage. And this is, to me, once again, where there's a distinction between the unjust violence versus just violence.
Correct.
But what are your thoughts on this one? Like, if somebody else is being physically harmed, specifically somebody close to you.
I think righteous anger is a thing.
Yeah.
And in that situation, I think that is righteous anger. Mm-hmm. There is a legitimacy to the anger that says, I'm going to stand up for those that can't defend themselves. And yes, it should make us very angry, because God does the exact same thing. God gets very upset when the innocent's blood is shed. And that's exactly what's taking place in that situation. Blood may not actually being shed, but still, somebody's getting beat up that is innocent, that has no way to defend themselves. The bigger is picking on the younger. That God brings out his righteous anger in that moment. I think we are allowed to. I have a difference. I don't know. I feel like when it's just me, if somebody's beating me up, I would hope that it's, I don't know, I would certainly get angry, but in terms of being driven by rage to the point of, like, once again, picking up a brick type of thing, okay, let's pump the brakes here. I'm not saying that I wouldn't get angry in that moment, but I'm saying, to me, there's a different level of righteous indignation, righteous wrath and anger that comes up for somebody that, if somebody hits my wife, they're dead, you know, and I think that's perfectly fine. I think that's a great way to show the aggression. That's why God made us men. We're supposed to have big muscles. We're supposed to be able to protect our wives. And that's not just something that we say, oh, yeah, a guy's got to protect his wife. Like,
no,
you
like,
want to be
yeah.
in shape enough. You want to be fit enough. You want to be in a good enough position that if somebody ever does try to pick on your wife, your aggression does come out. God created us with aggression to protect other people, most specifically our family.
Your wife and kids and family, they're going to want to know that you also
correct.
Are not going to be the mousy guy that's going to stand back and, you know, barely throw a punch.
Hey, can you please stop?
Yeah, exactly.
Please.
Hey, that's not nice. Like, you know, we're not trying to, you know, pick on stereotypical people here, but like they need to know that you're going to protect them. And so I do think that adds an interesting element of, like you said, Joe, bringing in somebody else to the equation that is getting harmed versus harming yourself. What the next thing we have on here, Joe, this is one that you added. And so I know I'm kind of asking all the questions here. If you want me to go
that's
first,
right,
I'm
right.
welcome to, I'm happy to. What would you say about, okay, so we have the idea of somebody who's weaker. So a woman, obviously children,
sure.
And that kind of naturally brings out some rage, some righteous anger you spoke to. What about if it's just a buddy, like a fellow, but like a close friend, like if somebody started beating you up and I was watching, or somebody started beating me up and you were watching, it's a little bit different in the sense of like, okay, it's not necessarily a woman or a child, but do we have a right to kind of stand up and you know, show loyalty through the aggression of joining the fight or whatever it is? Obviously, these are things that probably are never going to happen for us as adults. But again, these are, when we're talking about aggression and violence, these are scenarios that do happen sometimes. And so what is the level of responsibility for us as godly young men to stand up in an aggressive way for our guy friends?
I actually think loyalty matters. I really, really do. I was actually, funny enough, I was talking to a friend recently, Dean. You know Dean.
I do, yep.
So shout out Dean. And he was talking about his brother. Him and his brother used to get into it in high school. His brother is crazy. And so his brother picked on some fights in high school, and he'd show up to protect his brother type of thing, you know, and protect his friends, because his friends would go to get in a fight. You try to neutralize the situation. You really try to calm him down. And he did talk about once or twice. He's like, you're not getting in that fight. And he'd pull his brother away or his friend away, which I think is wise. On the other hand, there may be times where when a friend gets involved, loyalty matters. You step up and you protect your friend. You go in there, you jump in the fight. Maybe it's not fully your fight. If it's 3-1, 4-1, I think there's a level where loyalty does come into play. Guys who fight together, it's the same thing in any sports team, or, you know, in a platoon or whatever it may be. You want to know somebody's got your back. And if my buddy is like the pacifist who just goes, you know what, I know you're kind of in that, and I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Yeah, exactly. I'll stay out of it. And I just don't really believe in violence. I don't think so. I think it's good for friends to step in. Now, if your friend's a complete knucklehead and he's getting in fights every other day, he's the problem. He's the problem. But if somebody's calling him out and he's got three guys that are picking on him, you step up and you be that friend, because you're going to be telling that story to your kids in 20 years. And it's going to matter, right, that you stepped up in that moment. Maybe you got beat up, but the point is you showed up for your friend. So I think loyalty matters. And the last one we have on here.
This is a big one.
This is an interesting one. And you wrote this outline. So these are some really good questions. What about, I'll ask you since we'll flip it here, what about when they hurt your pride? So it's easy to say if they're physically harming you, they're assaulting you. Okay, yes, you can fight in that moment. Aggression comes out. If they're harming somebody that you're very close to, your sister, your wife, a smaller kid, something like that, yes, you step up. I think in loyalty, I think that's fair. If your friend is going to get in a fight at school or whatever it may be, hopefully this is not, once again, as adults, I'm really hoping you're not getting into these. But if your friend is doing something like that, I think you stand with your friends. But what about when it comes down to non-physical violence, they're just hurting your pride? Can you defend your pride with a level of aggression?
Yeah, and so again, the difference being nobody's beating you up, right, but they are verbally throwing things at you that just really hurt. Joe, the next question I'm going to ask you is about this idea of dealing with insults. I think this was requested, and so I wanted to tie these things in if you want to turn to the verse reference that I've got. But as far as the question directly asks, essentially, can you throw hands with somebody when they are insulting you, or when you're trying to defend your pride, they call you a name or they say something about your sister, your wife, whatever? I'm curious to know what you think. I personally think that this is where Matthew 5:38-39 come in a bit more of, you don't need to just, first of all, start hurling insults back at them and calling them, you know, names or whatever else. You also probably don't need to rear back and you know, just uppercut somebody in the face, I think this is where we as Galliamans need to show the maturity to walk away. I see it similarly and I guess a lot of our young men are probably not getting into online squabbles, but like, it's really easy to fire off a response or, you know, keyboard warrior it. You know, it's the mature thing to do sometimes, just walk away. Say, you know what, forget it. I'm not gonna argue with you. Same thing in a face-to-face argument. If it's somebody and like, listen, this is, I'm above this, I'm gonna step away. And so I would say if your pride is hurt and you really feel like this is something that you need to just lash out and defend your pride, I do think that's the wrong attitude, honestly. Yeah. Again, they're not physically harming you. They're not doing anything, you know, to hurt somebody that, you know, physically speaking, it's all verbal. I would say let that one go to the best of your ability. Obviously, maybe there's a situation can escalate into physical violence, but it's one of those things, like, as much as it depends on you, don't get into a physical altercation with somebody. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. Physical should be the last thing you get to. I don't even think trading barbs back and forth. My dad used to give us the principle, or whatever you want to say, like the advice, consider the source. Mm. Consider the source. Who's this coming from? This guy's an idiot. Why in the world would you take this seriously? And if he's insulting you, like, he's only doing that to harm you. My mom used to say, and this actually made me very angry, which is funny, he who angers you controls you. Like, this is like, mom's controlling me, I suppose, in that moment, because she's angering me in saying that. He who angers you controls you. And there's legitimacy to that. Like, can this guy get under my skin? And the question is, if he can get under your skin, you have now given him something that he knows he has. He has this against you. He can always go back to this. And so if he's calling you gay, or if he's calling you, a weenie or whatever it may be, I don't know we can't probably use the terms that people would actually call you.
Right.
And so
Joe's also probably not up to date on the Gen Z insults.
Right? The Gen Z insults, yeah. It's, I don't even know what that would be. I don't know. You're Ohio. Yeah, all the Gen Z slang that I'm just not even close to knowing. But all the different ones. I was called a ton of things in hockey that my brother was called probably about 10 times what I was called in hockey. And so, yes, could you turn it back? And occasionally, I think sending some barbs back here or there with some trash talk in sports, in my opinion, is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
There's a difference between that and trying to rip somebody apart or, once again, retaliating to a ridiculous degree. Trash talking, razzing one another, things like that. We got to be a little bit careful with the coarse jesting. On the other hand, I don't have as much of a problem. Returning with violence or with serious aggression, though, tells you that they have struck a nerve, and to me, that speaks more internally. So I've used this before, but like the idea of if you call me stupid or if you call me fat, one hurts and one doesn't. You're insulting me in two different ways, but one I believe and one I don't, yeah. Right? I don't think I'm dumb, but you gain weight from, you know, over time and... Like, yeah, so the fat resonates. Home, why? Yeah. Because I believe that about myself. So most of the time, if there are insults and somebody's calling you gay, consider the source. Do I agree with this person on anything else? 99.9% of the takes that they have and the things that they do, I'd look at and go, this person is an idiot. So why would you agree with the 0.1% of the time when they are insulting you? It makes no sense. What are they trying to get from me in this moment? Are they just trying to get a rise out of me? Are they trying to control me in this moment? And do I actually believe any of this? Well, no, I don't. Then why does it matter?
Yeah.
This guy could say it day after day, water off a duck's back. I know I'm not whatever he says of me, and that's okay. But you had put down a scripture here, which goes perfectly with this, which is 1 Peter 3, I'm going to start in verse 8. He says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So can you retaliate when someone hurts your pride? I think this makes it pretty clear, no. I don't think that's the time to do it. Your pride is not necessarily on the line. It shouldn't be on the
specifically
line.
Specifically with violence, you should.
Correct, with violence. Yeah. And even, once again, getting into a spat, like you said, online or back and forth, or, well, your mom, come on. You know what I mean? Like, just walk away from those moments and realize that the more you engage, usually the more you lose.
And this is so difficult, too. Like, it is our nature to want to lash back. It is our nature to want to spit back something and, you know, retort something really clever that is just really cutting. And I do think it the more mature option, the thing that it is harder to do is to just, you know, turn your back and walk away. And when, even though you might have the perfect comeback, that's really just gonna, man, you're going to knock it out of the park. Just walk away. Yeah. For the most part, again, it's one of those things that's difficult for us to say because every situation is different. Every insult is different. Every context surrounding it is different. And so, I don't know. Maybe I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, but maybe there is a time when you might need to, go a little bit further and kind of, like as Joe said, maybe retort a little bit or try to at least get it resolved. I mean, that should be the goal. But I think for the most part, if you're initiating the physical altercation, if you're initiating the violence, it's a problem. Last thing we have on here as we got to wrap up is, Joe, you spoke to this at the start of the episode. I do think there are healthy ways, healthy outlets, you might say, for aggression. I think sports is one of them.
Yeah.
I think I said at the start of the episode or before we got on air, like, okay, you probably, if you're wanting to just really hurt somebody, you probably shouldn't go play football or basketball just to go throw elbows or just to pile drive somebody into the ground. But obviously, with the testosterone and like trying to win, there is an aggression element to sports that is a healthy one. Like, you use your motivation to win, use your aggression to not hurt somebody, but to win the game or to win the event. Working out is another one. You hear people say, I had such a rough day, I need to go work off some frustration. So they went to the gym. I don't really have a big problem with that. Like, obviously, it's better than hurting anybody. I think that's something that, you know, working out, maybe some anger, stress, frustration, whatever at the gym is not a problem. What are your thoughts on that, Joe, before we wrap up on this kind of healthy outlets for aggression?
Yeah, working outside, doing
manual labor,
manly stuff, man. Take out the aggression that way. It's normal to have aggression. It's not normal to have, like, a lot of anger underneath. You got to solve whatever that is. Like, if you're driven by anger constantly and it's right underneath the surface, means you probably have some things you need to process through, you need to work on. On the other hand, we're guys. Aggression's normal. Testosterone, having that pushes you to do that is normal. So, yes, the healthy outlets, working out sports, working outside. Challenging one another. I think competition is really, really good when it comes to aggression. That could be competition. They've actually shown even in, like, chess competitions, it lights up certain parts of the brain. Testosterone can be risen can be gained even through things like chess and checkers because there's competition. That gets us going. So having things like that for the aggression just to get that out is very healthy.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, I was about to wrap up.
Well, I had two questions for you. The first one is just for fun. Have you ever gotten into a fist fight? Like, did you ever get into one growing up? You don't seem like the fist fight type. I know you play hockey.
No, I mean, I've been in like scuffles and hockey. Kicked a kid once. That was bad. A roller, not ice.
That's good. That's good.
If it was ice, kid wouldn't be here today probably, so it's a good thing. That wasn't good. Other than that, yeah, I mean, I've gotten into like, but no, never a fist fight. You?
When I was 10 or 11, I did.
Did you really?
I sure did. And I did not.
Please tell me you won.
I did not. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did not initiate it either. The guy was just being an absolute punk. And then he threw the first punch, and I was like, all right, fine, it's on. Then my second question was, when I beat you pretty bad in golf the other, you know, a couple months ago, did you want to beat me to death with your clubs? I think that's the most violent I've ever seen.
All right, it's time to wrap up. Yeah. So appreciate that.
I think that's the most violent I've ever seen, Joe.
I threw a club, yeah, and if it was at you and it accidentally hit you, I wouldn't be sorry about it.
It did hit my golf cart, I'm pretty sure.
I think it did actually bounce at your golf club. That was the worst game of golf I've ever played.
I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. Yeah,
thanks for that. Thanks for that. I appreciate that.
Joe's beat me every other time, but that one time, I truly enjoyed.
Yeah, but that made up for the rest because he beat me like 20 strokes. Yeah. So that was I was having a bad day that day on multiple levels.
We should have put that one on here. Is it okay to inflict violence if you lose in golf?
Yeah. Is it okay to smash something with your golf club? As long as you don't break the golf club, I'd say, yeah. No, just kidding. Yeah, try not to be violent in those moments. I'll try a little harder not to throw my clubs next time. But occasionally, you get carried away from time to time. The fist fight's interesting. Hopefully, you go through your life and you never really have one of those confrontations. That would be fantastic. On the other hand, you may have something like Will happen. Will had happened when he was young. Somebody just initiate something, man. You got to do something about it. That's okay.
And you need to be able to defend your family. Go back to that point.
Correct.
Like if somebody comes up on you in the street or something, like you just need to be ready for it, what I would say.
Man, I was in Portland recently. We'll wrap up. I was in Portland recently. Tons of homeless people. And you're talking like four or five would just congregate and you'd walk by them. Like, man, if somebody steps out and tries something, like this is not going to go well. And so you just stand a little straighter and kind of get ready to go. You're just on edge. I never want to feel like that again. I hate that feeling. Most of the time, I mean, I'm 6'1", so I don't feel like intimidated by people, but occasionally
4 or 5 on 1 though.
Whew. 4 or 5 on 1, and you don't know what they're on because they were clearly on something. Those moments is why, yes, you work out. You want to be fast enough to run if necessary. You also want to be strong enough to be able to defend yourself. And I'm never taking my family there, but if you're ever in that position, that's why this stuff matters. And so going back to where we began. Needless violence, senseless violence, using weapons, things like that, absolutely not.
Fits of rage.
Fits of rage. There's no place for that. Exactly. Even taking your stuff and punching holes in the wall and you know, beating up things, well, it's at least I didn't take it out on somebody else. That's just out of control. There's no reason for that. There's no time and place for that. Get yourself under control, but it is okay to have aggression come up in certain places. Have those healthy outlets. Step up for your friends. Step up for your family and your wife and kids and things like that. But Will, anything else?
That's all I've got. This has been episode 115. Again, welcome to our new studio. Again, if you're watching, hopefully you enjoy little nicer background here. Yeah. So shout out to Joe and Mr. Brian for that. But we'll be back next week for episode 116 of the Golly Human Podcast. Thanks for watching.